presence of God that I feel in the house tonight. Let's give him a little praise. Let's just worship him a little bit. Praise God. Mighty God, we magnify you. We lift you up. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Could we just connect with him for a little bit here? Just forget about everything else and everybody else. Lord, you're wonderful. We magnify you. We worship you, Lord. We bless your name. Glory, glory, glory to God. How awesome are your ways, O God. How wonderful your ways, O mighty God. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, mighty God. We bless your name, O God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. And everybody said praise the Lord. Praise God. So good to see you this evening. And we're delighted to have Brother David Smith with us from my home district, actually. He's from Lake Charles, Louisiana, out of a great church there in Lake Charles, pastored by Brother Merle Ewing. And I remember brand new in the kingdom of God going to Easter dramas in that great church and hearing Brother Ewing preach and sing at camp meeting, and just an awesome, awesome church. And that whole area is so full of apostolics, you can't throw a rock without hitting one. Churches everywhere, all back up in the woods, churches, apostolic churches, big old honking churches off in every little nook and cranny. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I believe, I can see with my eye that what happened in Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi, it didn't cross the line over into Alabama. You don't have that many apostolic churches, and you don't have that many big ones. But I believe God saves the best for last, and I really do believe that he's able to raise up mighty churches in this district. And we've got a revival scheduled for this weekend, and I'm feeling really good about it. We passed out several thousand flyers on it, and you've invited folks. Brother Smith wanted to work with us a little bit tonight on praying people through. And how many of you have had somebody receive the Holy Ghost under your hand before? You've prayed and people have received the Holy Ghost. That's almost everybody here, almost everybody here. How many of you want to be better and more sensitive about that and more effective? Because just listen to me now. When we have a sporadic one or two in the altar, we can handle it. We're all over it. But when we have 100 in the altar, when that night comes, when that Sunday morning dawns, we're going to need every hand on deck. Now, about 5 of you believe that, but I'm just telling you, I've seen it. I just haven't seen it here yet. And I believe it's coming to an altar near you. All right, Brother Smith, we're so glad you're here. Come take your liberty with us and just tell us what's on your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand.
Well, I do feel Jesus in here already. I feel an anointing power of the Holy Ghost in this house. 100 people receiving the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, it can happen, and it can happen right here. In fact, I'll go ahead and tell you it's going to happen right here. All we got to do is get them here. If we get them here, I'm telling you now, they're going to get filled up with the Holy Ghost. Ain't no man can give them the Holy Ghost, but only Jesus Christ can do that. So if we'll get them here this weekend, I'm telling you, they'll get it. Sunday, I seen 163 people get the Holy Ghost in one service. Now, granted, I was in Thailand. There's a little difference there. You know, they all need the Holy Ghost in Thailand. But it's amazing. But God opened up the windows of heaven. Great things begin to happen. And we saw 163 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We baptized 27 of them in Jesus' name. Wish we could have baptized more, but there it's a little different. And we had just some awesome miracles and great things take place. And I don't know if you know, but in Thailand, you can't talk about the king. They'll execute you. You can't talk about Buddha. They'll do the same thing. And they had a woman stood up, and she said, "I no longer want Buddha in my life, but I got to have Jesus Christ And as we prayed for her, she began to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come to find out, she's a businesswoman. And then she said, I'm going to bring the rest of my family to church. She said, because they all need to find this Jesus that I just found. I'm here to tell you right now, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm here to tell you. Now, I don't know everything about praying people through, and I don't want you to think I'm coming in here trying to give you a new idea. However, your pastor, when I'm done teaching, if your pastor does not agree with the way I do it, you do it the way he does it, because he's the bishop. I'm just in here, all right? But I do feel that the Lord has given me a gift of praying people through. This past year, I've seen 2,876 people receive the Holy Ghost right here in the States. Not overseas, but right here. I've been on the evangelistic field. Come in August. It'll make 4 years. Beginning of 4 years, I've been on it a little over 3 years, and I've seen right at 8,000 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And my pastor sent me out and told me I was an evangelist, and I believed him, and so here I am. So we're going to have fun. It's going to be great. Now, I'm telling you, I want you to bring all your friends, your family, your neighbors, your co-workers. If you got a hog time, if you got to beat them down and bring them in here, we'll pray that God heals them and everything will be fine. I'm telling you, we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles in this house this weekend. But the greatest miracle of all is salvation. All right? The greatest, I can go to heaven crippled, I can go to heaven blind. I've seen all kind of stuff happen, and that's all fine and dandy, but I done figured it out. It's all about God. It's not about man. But if we will bring those folks to this house, I promise you, God will not let us down. I promise you. Now, there's no reason why we couldn't have 100 get the Holy Ghost this weekend. I mean, I don't see any reason in it why we can't have them. Now, I can't see any, but I can think of one or two. And here's one of them. If we don't open our mouth and get people here, they're not going to get it. I could ask everybody in here. I've heard the stories, you know, back in the old days when my grandpa and them, that somebody was driving and an angel of the Lord jerked the wheel and they jerked them in the parking lot and pulled them out of their car and threw them in the altar. But I imagine none of that happened to any of y'all, just like it didn't happen to me. All right, somebody asked me to church. Well, my mom told me I was going to church. She didn't ask me. So anyway, we might have to pull moms. I mean, we might just have to just beat them down and bring them in here. We got to get them to this house, because once they get here, they're going to understand that Jesus is alive and well. All right. One of the most important tools in the altar besides Jesus Christ is something like this. You don't have to have just these kind. And this is for your breath. Some folks be praying for people, and they think that's the Holy Ghost, but it's not. It's stinky breath, and they're doing like that. And so anyway, if you can't afford none of these, see the pastor. He'll get you some. I'm just kidding. Now, listen, we're going to have fun now. We're going to cut up. I can't help it. I'm just a Louisiana boy, and I enjoy having fun. All right? So anyway, make sure your breath smells good before you start praying for people. Anybody ever pray for folks and their breath be stinking? Besides me, go ahead and be honest. And you wish you had a mint to put in their mouth, you cannot do that. Okay? So don't put your finger in somebody else's mouth with a mint. All right? That's not good. So anyway, make sure your breath smells good. All right? Because ain't nothing worse than somebody praying for you with stanky breath. I was praying for a guy the other day, and I just wish I could pull one of them little strips out and put it in his mouth while he was praying, but I didn't. He got the Holy Ghost, and I thank God it didn't take long because his breath was kicking. So anyway. Huh? Well, that's the truth. Ain't nothing worse than that. Now, I done a little fill in the blank, and I know people hate that. I'm dyslexic. I don't read and write very well, but I didn't get this out of some book. My first time out on the field, I didn't have no place to go, and I won't go into the whole story, but we had 47 get the Holy Ghost, and I bought my own tape, and I said, man, I must have said something good. Come to find out, I didn't say much of anything very well. It's just the Lord helped me in the altar. So I don't even care to preach. I like to go with Brother Godwin or somebody because they love hearing themselves preach. That's my best friend. And I let him preach, and I run the altar, and it just all works the same. Yeah, it don't even matter to me. I'm worried about the altar, okay? When we get people in the altar, it's all about them getting the Holy Ghost, all right? I don't preach long, and I know y'all have heard that before too, but I don't preach long. I'll preach 4 or 5 minutes. We're going to pull everybody in the altar, and they're all going to get the Holy Ghost. Everybody that wants the Holy Ghost will leave here this weekend with the Holy Ghost. If they want it, they're going to get it. I've never met a person that wanted the Holy Ghost that didn't get it. Never. I'm sorry. If they want it, they're going to receive it. So if you don't want to fill in the blanks, that's fine. I'll just throw this up here when I'm done, and you can come get the answers if you just want to listen. All right, is that fair enough? All right, so here we go. First things first. People come to the altar for several reasons. People come to the altar for several reasons. All right? A, do not assume. All right? You know why they come. Don't assume you know why someone comes to the altar. Then I put a little line in the center. In that little line right there, on top of that, put the word ask. I've had many people come to the altar, and I've noticed all across the country, you ever come to the altar yourself and someone immediately begins to pray for you? They lay hands, but they don't know what they're praying for. They might be praying blessings or whatever, but they don't know what you need. Okay? Immediately, people just start laying hands and saying, Lord, I want you to bless them. God, I want you to take care of their finances. God, I want you to take. But that might not be what they need. They might be sick in their body. They might want to be standing in for someone else. So when someone comes to the altar, they've already made the step that they want something from God. So what you need to do is introduce yourself to them and say, hey, I believe in brother and sister. Don't get me wrong. But the world doesn't understand all the brother and the sister. And the world doesn't understand us hugging one another when we see one another at the church. But I've noticed that God has been giving us an influx of new people that don't know how we have church. So when they come to the front, they don't understand all this, brother and sister. So when they come, I just say, hey, how you doing? My name's David. What's your name? My name's John. Hey, John, I see you come to the front. What do you need from God? Well, my foot hurts. Great, John. We're going to pray for your foot. See, now I know. See, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So why can I be praying for something else, but John don't want me to pray for his back or his head or for him to get the Holy Ghost? His foot hurts. So I'm going to pray for his foot. And God is going to give him a miracle. And his foot is going to quit hurting when I get finished praying for him. And then I'm going to say, John, have you ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost? And let me give you another little clincher. Many of them say, oh, yes, I have. And I say, great. Did you speak with tongues when you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Well, no, I didn't. You know, in the world out there, a lot of people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is accepting the Lord as their personal Savior. So I always ask, so you spoke with tongues? Oh, well, no, I didn't. Oh, John, you need the second part of the Holy Ghost. Belief was only the first step. That second part is speaking a heavenly language, and I'll explain that to them. All right, so here we go. Number two, the first step to somebody receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is they must believe. I got a few little scriptures there. You can read them later. I won't have to read them to you. What do they need to believe, okay? A, they need to believe that God is real. They need to believe, B, that the Holy Ghost is real. And C, they need to believe that they can receive it. And people say, well, how are they going to understand that God is real? How are they going to understand the Holy Ghost is real? How are they going to understand that they can receive it? I'll tell you how. If we have church the way we're supposed to have church, they're going to know God is real. If we worship God like we're supposed to worship God, they're going to understand God is real. If we magnify the King like we're supposed to do it, they're going to understand. And if we care about him and try to get him in that altar, they're going to understand that what we've been telling them about the Holy Ghost is real. The people that's going to get the Holy Ghost here on Sunday, 99% of them is going to be people that you've been working on, that you've been talking to, that you've been working with, and that you've been inviting to church. That's the ones that come in to get the Holy Ghost because they've been watching the way you've been living, and they're seeing something different in you that they don't have. Three, for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost, it must be their faith that responds to God. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how many tongues you can talk in. I don't care how you can shanana. It don't matter. It has to be their faith that's going to respond to God. You can't give anybody the Holy Ghost. You can't pour it onto them. You can't shake it into them. You can't tell them, just repeat after me. It has to be their faith that responds to God. So you say, well, so what's my part? Number one, our responsibility in an altar is to instruct them. You have to become an instructor in that altar. You can't worry about your problems. If you're always negative, don't come to the altar. unless you want to be prayed for. All right, if you can't handle, listen, if there's things going on, just don't come to the altar, because I'm going to tell you why. I believe in impartation. I believe that the spirit that we got, it can rub off on somebody else. So when you come to that altar, if you got to lie to yourself and tell yourself everything's going to be fine. I'm about to lay hands and they're going to get the Holy Ghost. When we get in this altar, we're going to be positive on what God is about to do, because God is the only one that can fill people with the Holy Ghost. No man can do that. We're going to talk to them on how and why to repent. All right? How and why to repent. B, we're going to talk to them on how and why to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We get the mentality that we got to have it pumping. We got to be hanging from the chandeliers for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. That's not true. I'm telling you, when God gets ready to move, it don't matter. You don't have to have singing. You don't have to have music. I play a little bit. I love singing and screaming, and I love doing shouting and bucking and snotting and rolling. I love doing all that, but you don't have to have all that for people to receive the Holy Ghost. All you need is a willing vessel and Jesus, and they're going to get the Holy Ghost. All right? So, but we got to talk to them. We got to explain to them. So you explaining what's about to happen is not going to kill the spirit. Sunday, Saturday night, you'll see. We'll crank off that altar. We'll get going, and I'll stop the altar. Boom, we'll stop and start over. Don't worry. It ain't going to kill the spirit. Because we're going to count the ones that got the Holy Ghost. We're going to back everybody up. We're going to say, now, if you didn't receive it, come back. And we're going to pull them back. And then we're going to pray them through. And if we got more, we're going to stop and back them up. And then we're going to bring them. And we're going to keep praying to everybody talking in tongues. Amen. That's just the way it works. It don't matter. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. That's the way it works. So what are we going to talk about with that person? Repentance. Number one, we must lead the person in the prayer of repentance. All right, and I'll explain that in a little bit. All right, we got to stop people from begging God. You don't have to beg God to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. B, what we got to do is always speak in faith. We've got to always speak in faith. C, I know this is going to sound a little odd, but I like to make it a we/us thing, and let me explain that. When I'm working with people in the altar, let's say it's a friend of mine, and I know he's got problems. I don't need to remind him of his problems. He already knows he has them. But I've seen so many people say, well, you know, you've been doing bad, and, you know, there's a lot of sin in your life, and da-da-da. What I'm doing when I'm talking to old John, I say, John, God is going to bless us. We going to talk to God, and God's going to do something for us. And the reason I want to talk about we and us is because I don't want John to feel like I'm better than him. I want John to feel like we're on the same page. All right, so we're going to make it a we/us thing. All right, and then D, we're going to pray together. You say, well, David, that's pretty good. All right, so what am I going to say? Number one, a good place to start is, Lord, forgive us. The only way that God can flow freely is there has to be forgiveness. If a man or a woman or a boy or a girl will not ask God to forgive them, I'm telling you now, he's not or she's not going to get the Holy Ghost. Unless you open your mouth, you're not going to get the Holy Ghost. Got to open your mouth. You got to ask God to forgive you. I put this big long line. What are we going to ask God to forgive us? I ask God to forgive me of everything that I've thought, everything I've said, done or heard. Everything I've thought, everything I've said, everything I've done, everything I've heard. I even go a little further and ask him to forgive me of things I don't realize I've done. See, the way I cut up sometime, I could offend folks and not even mean to. So I got to ask God to forgive me of things I don't even realize I've done. So that letter A, everything I've thought, everything I've said, everything I've done, everything I've heard, and things I don't realize I've done. B, what do I got to do? I got to give myself 100% to you. Here's why. You can't come to God half-heartedly and expect to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can't come to God and expect to do something if you're not planning on living for him. Now, I got story after story about old folks coming and drunks and druggies and some of my buddies when I was out in the world. They come get the Holy Ghost and go right outside and fire up joints and cigarettes and the whole deal. And I've had people come by me and say, well, my God, they didn't get the Holy Ghost. Look what they're doing. Well, sure they did. They just don't understand about everything else that they need to know about. And so that guy that was rocking on me about my buddy getting the Holy Ghost, and he was sitting right outside smoking Camel cigarettes, and he asked me, did I want one? I said, well, no, I quit smoking. Jeff, he said, oh, okay. He said, well, I like smoking these little things still. I said, well, that's awesome. And this old timer come by, and he said, well, see there, I told you, you didn't get it. You look at that. And he just kept on. And when my buddy walked off, I said, you know, I said, he don't know any better. I said, because he just got the Holy Ghost. But when he came to that altar, he gave himself 100% to God. Because he done everything that he knew to do, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I said, now he's out here doing what you just saw him do. I said, which ain't the best for him. I said, but God is working with him. I said, but you know what? Him smoking is way, way better than your flapping tongue. I said, you know better than gossiping. So anyway, it didn't go over too well. But he prayed back through. He was all right. So anyway. Got to give yourself 100% to God. See, when we do that, I just tell him God has just forgiven us of everything. If you ask God to forgive you and you're truly asking him, God is forgiving you. All right? You're helping that person. D, I tell him now we're ready to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Number one, it don't have to be hyped up. I promise you. I've been in churches, man, where they shake them and they jerk them and they grab water police, and then you get them in a circle and somebody screams, hold on, and somebody else screams, let go. Somebody else screams, come on, and then they begin to push them. And then, you know, I mean, lights in the tights, I mean, that's only, I mean, elbowing people, I done seen it all. I was in a church a few years back, and a woman grabs the oil that we pray people through and just dumps it on a fella. Didn't go too well. It was a kinfolk, thank God. But anyway, I'm just telling you, you don't have to do all that, okay, for people to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to scream at people. You don't have to jerk on people, all right? All you got to do is tell them what God's going to do. Sometimes you don't even have to lay hands on them. You can speak the word, and God will begin to fill them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I do tell them that the Bible says, neglecting not the gift of laying on of hands, I believe that. But I'm telling you, I've been in churches, and I've been places where, I mean, it just becomes a shouting match or a pushing match. And I'm telling you, people that are not used to the way we all do things, they're not going for that. I'm telling you right now, they just ain't into all that pushing, jerking, and shaking and rubbing. I mean, I've been in places where people are praying and somebody comes up and starts doing the back rub move. I'm thinking, man, I wish I was trying to get the Holy Ghost, man. Feels pretty good, it looks like. But you ain't got to do all that, all right? So what are we going to not do? Don't shake people. All right, if you got the shaking, if you got to shake somebody, go outside, shake around, and come on back in. Don't be shaking people in the altar. All right. B, don't scream at people. And you know what I mean. Some of you been right in the deal, got your eyes shut, really praying, talking, somebody comes up behind you and says, come on. And you're like, and they think it's the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost. They've just scared the fire out of you. All right. I've been in them situations. So let's not scream at folks. Let's not scream at folks. C, don't be rubbing people down. Don't be pushing on people. Don't be grabbing people by their face. You know, don't be putting your hand underneath their chin trying to make them talk in tongues. If they're going to get it, they're going to get it. It don't matter if you're beating them on the chin or not. All right? You can't beat on folk. Y'all probably know all that, but I'm just telling you. But what are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. A, we're going to be sensitive. Keep your eyes open. Watch their face. That's all. When you're praying with somebody, don't pray on the side of them or behind them. Get in front of somebody. When you're going to pray for somebody, stand and look at them, all right? I hate people trying to talk to me up on the side or behind me. If somebody's going to talk to me, get in front of me and talk to me. Get eye contact. Watch what's going on. If you see them turning blood red, more than likely you're making them mad. Find out what you're doing wrong. Get away or something. I don't know. Scream for help. I don't know. What I'm saying is that watch what's happening, all right? B, speak in faith. You got to be positive on what God's going to do. And see, what are we going to do? We're going to take control. We're going to shield them and take control. All right. Number two, I'm going to tell them what is about to happen. The Holy Ghost ain't something hooky, spooky. It ain't something that's going to just climb up on you. All right? It's something that you're ready and you're getting prepared for. Tell them what is about to happen. A, I tell them you are about to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. B, I tell people that I'm going to lay hands on them. I just don't plop hands on people. I tell them, hey, I'm going to lay hands on you. If you tell somebody I'm going to lay hands on you, and they start going. more than likely they're not wanting that. Explain to them why you're going to lay hands on them, all right? Because you don't know what they come from. You don't know what lifestyle they've come out of. You don't know what home situation. You don't know. I mean, today we live in a sick world. So there's all kind of junk going on. So I don't just plop hands on people. I tell them, I'm going to lay hands on you. Is that okay? I'm going to lay my hand gently. I don't mess, you know, I don't mess up the hair, and I don't beat them all up. I just lay my hand gently, and it's just a point of contact, all right? All right, I tell people I want them to start thanking God for the Holy Ghost. And here's why. I know I've been in places that we say hallelujah and that works. And I've been in places that we say Jesus and that works. And I've been in places that we say, you know, glory and that works. But I have also noticed that they get people wanting them to say it faster and faster. You know, G-G-G-G-G-G-G. And then they say, oh, yeah, somebody wants to throw their thumb up and they're not even talking in tongues. Hallelujah is the highest praise, and I know that. Well, I'm a country boy, and I'm a little slow, so I want them to start just saying, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Two reasons. Number one, it's hard to bunch that up, and I can understand them when they're saying, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I can understand that. Number two, they're speaking in faith in what's about to happen. They're thanking God for the Holy Ghost in advance. They ain't got it yet, but they're thanking him for it. They're already stepping out in faith. We're already teaching them to step out in faith. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, all right? I tell them you're going to hear the Holy Ghost in your mind. I don't get into that real deep, but I will tell you before someone speaks with other tongues, they're going to hear that language in their mind before it comes out of their mouth. I promise you. Now, us here, most probably everybody here has the Holy Ghost. We can just begin to pray, and in a few minutes, just move into that prayer language, and it's a beautiful thing. But if you'll go back to when you first received the Holy Ghost, you heard that jibby-jabber in your mind. You heard something going on up in there that wasn't normal, and then it began to come out your mouth. That's when you was receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I don't get into the mind deal a whole bunch. I got some stuff on it, but I'm telling you, you're going to hear that language in their mind before it comes out of their mouth. Okay, E, I tell them we're going to speak the prayer language. That language that we're hearing, we're going to speak it. And F, I get in a little trouble about this, but I tell people I give you permission to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And one fellow asked me, how can you give people permission? I said, the Bible says greater works, what are we going to do? I said, that's what the Word says. And I said, and when people are in the altar, the devil is trying to mess with their mind, trying to mess with their emotions, trying to mess with them. So you got to take spiritual authority in that altar over the enemy. Give them permission to speak with other tongues. And I don't put this in my seminar, but I really believe it. I believe there's three reasons people don't get the Holy Ghost. Number one, they don't know what it is. Number two, they don't want it. Or number three, they truly hadn't repented. That's the only three reasons I can figure out that people won't get the Holy Ghost. I can't figure out them seekers, and I've been searching for God for 20 years. I don't know why they're searching. He's not lost. He's right there. I don't believe in all. I believe there's three reasons people don't get the Holy Ghost. Either they don't want it, they don't know what it is, or they truly hadn't repented. Because after he said go and wait until, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, never again did you hear what people had to wait. All they had to do was ask. But they had to have a repentant heart, and they had to want it, okay? So that's the only, that's just my, it's a little personal deal there. When they receive the Holy Ghost, all right, here, number one, when they're receiving the Holy Ghost, I ask them, do you hear yourself speaking in tongues? Now, when people are receiving the Holy Ghost, they're not having some out-of-body experience, okay? When you're talking in tongues, you're not floating off somewhere, all right? You know exactly where you are. Number two, I tell them that's the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm from Louisiana, just like Brother Sutton, and my grandpa was here, he'd smack me right there. I was always taught, don't you never tell people when they're receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, let me just hold on. We tell them when they don't get it. You didn't get it. You were right there. If Sister Lindsay would have hit it one more time, you would have probably talked in tongues. If you take that out your pocket, you'd probably get it. I've heard all of them. If just one more tear would have probably, you'd have got it. That ain't a faith builder, folks. Let me help you here. I mean, they done been down there sweating for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I've seen some an hour. Can't figure out. I know why, but I ain't going to say nothing. But anyway, there they are, and then they leave the same way they come, and then all we can hear is, you didn't get it. Well, if we can tell them they didn't get it, If you're an altar worker, that means you're a professional in your job. That's what you do. I don't go on the construction site and tell people how to build because I'm not a builder. You know, I think that cut up there is wrong. I don't know. I don't think that looks just like in the altar. I don't want him coming telling me because more than likely he ain't doing what I'm doing. And I'm not, you know, better than him or him better than me. It's just if you're an altar worker, you're a professional at what you do. If all they know is English and they're speaking something that ain't English, I just have to believe it's the Holy Ghost. And again, you got to do what Bishop says, not what I say. You got to do what he says. I'm just giving you my little take on things, all right? Okay? So what I'm saying is that if all they know is English and they cranking out something and it ain't English, and while they're doing it, I get in their ear and I say, do you hear yourself speaking in tongues? And they're going, I say, that's the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll prove a little point to you. I'm at Tom Foster's. We had three services. We had 90 get the Holy Ghost in three services. And they had a little girl named Araceta. She comes, and she's Spanish. And I said, well, Araceta, you speak English? She said, yes. I said, you speak Spanish? She said, yes. I said, good, you're about to be trilingual. I said, you're bilingual now. You're about to be trilingual. I said, you're going to be talking in tongues in a minute. Well, we began to pray. We repented of laying hands on her. She talked in tongues. Everything was awesome. Brother Foster was screaming and hollering. Said, man, her boys have been coming to youth. Da-da-da-da. Said, man, her husband's a mean old fella. And then she told me, my husband's a mean old fella. And so I said, did you hear yourself speaking in tongues? She said, yes, yes. I said, you heard yourself speaking another language? Yeah. I said, you just received the Holy Ghost. She said, no. I said, oh, we need to start over. I said, was you speaking English? She said, no. I says, was you speaking Spanish? She says, no. I says, was you speaking a language you did not understand? She says, yes. I said, you just got the Holy Ghost. She said, no. And I'm thinking, hold on. So I went and got my little Bible, and I busted it open, and I started going, and I showed her, and she said, oh, Pastor. I said, yes. She said, I just got the Holy Ghost. I said, that's what I've been telling you. See, for her getting the Holy Ghost, she had been taught in her little thing that she just needed to accept the Lord, and she didn't do that in that altar. A lot of people accept the Lord as their personal Savior, and then that's it. They've received the gift of the Holy Ghost. My question to that is, well, if you've accepted him, how do you know he's accepted you? And I can show you in the Word how to know if he accepted you. Because somebody asked me the other day, said, Brother Smith, do I need to talk? Well, he didn't call me Brother Smith. I was in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and it was a guy, he's a healing preacher, and you go to his church, and you pay him, and he teaches you how to heal people, and which that's bogus, but anyway. And he had five of his little healers with him, and they were all down there at the crusade, and we had 67 get the Holy Ghost. Well, he comes up to me, and he's got all his little cronies with him, and he just wants to bust me on the platform after church, and he says, do I have to speak in tongues to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? I says, no, you do not. And he looked at, don't fall out, listen. I said, no, you do not. He looked at the cronies and said, see there, I told you. I said, said, I'm not done. I said, what you just said was a non-biblical statement, and I don't want to talk out of the Word. I said, if we're going to talk, let's talk about the Word. We're going to do what the Word says. I says, the Word does say that when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that they heard them speak in other tongues. It's all in how you word it. He said, do I have to speak in tongues to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? No, because it doesn't say that in the Bible. But the Bible says that when they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, they knew it because they heard them speak with tongues. So I looked at the little cronies and I said, now, what do y'all think about that, fellas? One of them said, I think I want the Holy Ghost. Well, the healer preacher said, well, I said, hey, I didn't stop you when you asked me. I said, let's be fair. I said, if it ain't real, then God won't give it to him. How about that? He said, fair enough. So we prayed, and he got the Holy Ghost. And I went down to the next one, and he got the Holy Ghost. And I went down to the next one, and we prayed all five of them through, and the other guy was upset, but it don't matter. But what I'm trying to say is that when God gets ready to do what he's going to do, you see, he's going to do it no matter what. So if somebody is receiving the gift, now let me say something. I know we love to pray people through, and I know it's a great joy to pray people through, but let me tell you, if they're not talking in tongues, don't you dare tell people you're getting the Holy Ghost. You won't talk about confusing somebody. I'm telling you now, that's confusing. That's why when they're doing it, I said, do you hear yourself speaking in tongues? If they shake their head, yes. Where I come from, this is yes and that's no. If they doing this, that's the Holy Ghost. If I can hear them. If I can't hear something come out and they think, you know what, I'm just going to let them believe what they want. But for me, I'm not telling people they're getting the Holy Ghost if they're not getting the Holy Ghost. Now, old school, my grandpa and them would say, well, they're going to know. Well, no, that's not true. Oh, Aristotle, she did not understand the Holy Ghost. By the way, Aristotle's husband got the Holy Ghost that night and both her boys. And I was at Brother Foster's a few months ago, and there they are about halfway in the middle of the sanctuary, still worshiping and praising God and coming to church. That's awesome when you can go back and see folks that you had a... So what I'm saying is that if they're speaking in tongues, and you know that's what it is that all right, Bishop? Okay. Again, if he does it any way different, you do it his way. All right? I'll be gone Monday, all right? So you can't go against what the pastor wants. All right, if they don't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, number one, I want you to be sensitive, okay? This is after I pray for them the first time. Number two, but I ask them, did you hear the Holy Ghost in your mind? Could you hear that language in your mind? Could you hear it, all right? If they say yes, I tell them that's the Holy Ghost. That language you're hearing in your mind is the Holy Ghost. B, I tell them what you're hearing in your mind has to come out of your mouth. What you're hearing in your mind has to come out of your mouth. C, I tell them we're going to pray and God is going to fill us with his spirit. This time speak to him. All right? After I pray somebody for the first time and they don't receive it, and I ask them, could you hear that Holy Ghost in your mind? If they say no, I know this sounds negative. I'm giving you a positive. If they say no, tell them you're going to have to hear it in your mind before it comes out your mouth. All right. B, here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the Lord to forgive us again. All right. And C, we're going to repeat the process. And I got the process down there. We're going to repent. We're going to thank and praise God. We're going to hear the Holy Ghost in the mind, and we're going to speak with tongues. All right. Now, let me explain that again. I pray for somebody I'm telling you, I pray for people. I mean, a minute or so. If they're not talking in tongues, I just stop them. Hey, look at me. Can you hear the Holy Ghost in your mind? Well, I hear some language. Great, that's the Holy Ghost. What you hear in your mind, you got to let it come out your mouth. The reason I do that is speaking in tongues, I don't care who you are, is weird. Speaking in tongues, you know, it's cool now because we do it a lot. But when we first cranked off talking in tongues, it's like, They done something to me. They done poured something on me. They done put something on me. Something done happened. Anybody remember? Who wasn't raised in church? Wow. Okay. How many of you remember receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost for the very first time? Huh? Was it an experience or what? I mean, you're thinking, gee whiz, they're about to offer me up for sacrifice. Something's about to happen. The snakes are coming out. Something's going to happen here. All right. So when I pray for someone, I don't want to wear people out in the altar. People that don't come to church or don't come to our altars are not used to the way that we have church. So I don't want just people, you know, I've seen people just trying to hold them up. I ain't doing all that. I pray for somebody, man, about a minute, they not talking in tongues. Hey, look at me. Can you hear that in your mind? Yeah, I'm hearing that. Great. What you hear in your mind, if you'll let your tongue go, that old jibby-jabber, that sounds like baby talk, that old what you're hearing in your mind, let it come out your mouth, you'll be speaking in tongues. But if I say, hey, did you hear that in your mind? Can you hear it? And they say no, I know right then in my own mind, either they don't want it, or they don't know what it is, or they truly hadn't repented. Now, I'm not their judge. I can't, that's in my mind. So what I got to do is I say, hey, listen. Let's repent one more time, you and I. Just a quick. Let's just repent. And I'll say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. When I'm repenting with people one-on-one on Sunday or Saturday night and Sunday, if it's all right, I'll just run the whole altar. We're just going to come and line up across the front all the way from wall to wall because there's going to be so many people here need the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to go get them. We're going to go get them, right? Okay. All right. And we're going to line up from wall to wall, and everybody's going to come to the front. I'm going to lead us in repentance. I've never heard the sinner's prayer. Don't know about the sinner's prayer. I've been blasted for doing the sinner's prayer. I never heard it. Don't want to hear it. If you got it, don't tell me, because that way I can keep saying I ain't never heard it and ain't never seen it. But I'm going to lead people in repentance, because I've been in so many services that people say, and I've seen beautiful messages, and then people say, let's repent. The church knows how to repent. People who don't come to church don't know how to repent. They're looking for the booth. They're looking for other things. So we have to lead them in repentance. I'm going to explain to you now. I'm not repenting for them because I can't. I'm only leading in repentance. I'll tell them Sunday and Saturday night, when you are asking God to free, you are praying for yourself. So when I lead them in repentance, all I'm doing is covering all the bases so that they can give themselves 100% to God. So when after I pray with that person the first time, they don't hear it. If they say they don't, I repent again with that person. That way I'm giving them a couple chances to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If they truly want the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you now, they're going to get it. I don't care. I just don't care. If they want to talk in tongues, I'm telling you now, they're going to talk in tongues. If that heart's right and that's what they want, they're going to leave here talking in tongues. There is no other way. All right, so right there, if they like I said, if they said, hey, no, we're going to repeat that process. After I pray with somebody for the second time, if they don't receive the Holy Ghost, number one, I don't pressure people. I don't pressure them, okay? Number two, I don't try to place blame. Don't start trying to figure out why they're not getting it. They're not getting it because they're not getting it, you know? Somebody asked me one day, say, are you upset when people don't get the Holy Ghost? I said, no. It's your choice. If they don't want to go to heaven, they ain't got to go. I mean, you can't make people go to heaven. You can't make people live for God. You can't make people get the Holy Ghost. All you can do is offer it to them. And you can't give it to them. You're just a conduit between him and them. All right? So I don't place blame. I don't try for you. Well, you know, if you would listen, all you got to do is repent. And be real in repentance. And if you want it, quit being stubborn. Open your mouth. Let that tongue flop. You're going to be talking in tongues. That's just bottom line. That's for us, okay? Number three, I encourage them. When somebody comes to the altar and I prayed for them and they don't get it, you know what I do? I'm like, man, that was awesome. God done so much for us tonight. Do you feel different? Because in the world out there, just coming and accepting or shaking the hand or signing the card, you're saved. But we done went so much further tonight, right there. I'm like, God has done great things for us tonight. How do you feel? Man, I feel so much better. And you know what? There's more out there. Really? Yeah. When you come back Wednesday, my God, there's no telling what's going to happen. So when they leave the church, you know what they say? Man, that was awesome. Whew, them people like me down there. You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying, you almost got it. You was right there. Hope God don't come tonight, because you're going to bust hell wide open. Gee whiz, huh? What a faith builder. All right, number four, build their faith. All right, remember, number one, you can't give anybody the Holy Ghost. All right, you got to have faith in God. Number two, you got to have faith in God, not in your faith. All right, now I know y'all probably heard. Anybody got any questions? No such thing as a crazy question. And if I can't answer, I'll give it to the bishop, and he'll answer it for me. But I like to just open it up, because Saturday and Sunday is going to be fun. Yes, sir.
Is it okay to spit on people?
No, sir. But I have had that happen before. Look like you got to wear a raincoat for some folk. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what? When you pray for people, you ain't got to get right in their face, man. You ever had people want to get right in your face to pray? Give them some space. You don't have to get right in people's face for them to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you're not that close to them, you won't be spitting on them anyway. All right? Anybody else got a question or concern? Yes, ma'am. This time, speak to him. And if you didn't write stuff down, I'm going to just leave these up. I'll leave that up here, and you can get it. Anybody got any questions or concerns about the altar? Yes, sir. When I talked about control and shield them, let's say we got this all filled up, and let's say we got 20 people in the altar and we got 30 altar workers up here. Well, people say, well, that's going to look stupid. No, because them 20 is going to get it. What we can do, I believe in shielding. I don't care who we are. I don't care what church you're in. Everybody knows there's certain people in your church that are not sensitive in the altar. Everybody's got them. If you don't, then this is a perfect church. Everybody's got them. But, I mean, we got folks in our church. I mean, when we see her coming, we know God, somebody get in front of her because she's going to wear them out. She's going to shake them, jerk on them, rub them. They get the Holy Ghost with her in self-defense. I think there's folks that don't even want it that gets it because she ain't letting them go. And she does this war whoop. What? I'm thinking, God, I mean, she's about to kill us. But we've learned. What you got to do is when you see that little person coming and you're praying with your person, just kind of step out and just get them by the hand. Say, come, stand right here with me. We're going to pray in a few minutes. Just stand right here. God's about to do something great. That's not being offensive. That's not, because I'm going to tell you why. God can be trying to do something, and this person means nothing by it. They are not trying to kill the spirit. They're just excited about it. They're just, you know what I'm saying? They don't mean any harm. But I have seen people come and start doing crazy things, and that person just literally put their hands down and start looking around like, what's going on here? Okay? So you got a shield from people. And you know what? When they get the Holy Ghost, that person going to be so happy because they're going to think they prayed them through anyway. Just let them believe it. It don't matter. Just so they didn't jerk them around. You know, that's my personal opinion. Yes, sir?
What about the account meeting
situation? What do you mean? Oh, I don't know. You know, is there anybody ever get the Holy Ghost at men's conference? I know we do it ours, but I don't know about anybody else. Are you sure? Men's conference, all that pride and no, I'm just yeah. We had 29 get the Holy Ghost at our men's conference. That's right. I taught my seminar. In the seminar, we had 29 get it in the seminar. You know what? On a deal like that, when I'm in a bigger group and I'm not at my home church, I just pray for people and if people want to be ignorant, I just let them be ignorant. I mean, what can you do? You know, they got ignorant folks out there. When they get the Holy Ghost, all you got is Holy Ghost filled ignorant people. They still ignorant. There ain't nothing you can do. So I just pray for people and go on. You know what I'm saying? But in a local church, you can control. If pastor has put you in this altar as an altar worker, that means he's given you some type of authority. Am I right, Bishop? Okay. All right, so if you got some type of authority, you can't be rude to people. That's not your job. But you can shield them from people that are trying to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay, yes, ma'am. I'm going to get you, Dad. You know what? When I'm praying for people and it hits me, I'll talk in tongues. Yeah, sure. Well, it's a faith builder, number one. I believe it's an impartation. I'm a tongue talker. That's what I do. Now, I don't say, all right, I'm about to lay hands on you. Now, repeat after me when it hits me. Because then they're thinking, well, what's he talking about? What's about to hit him? Then, you know, I mean, people start being like, what's about to hit us? I mean, you know, we're about to go up for sacrifice. I knew it. We down there at that Holy Roller Church, and snakes are coming out for sure. You know, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. But when I'm praying with people and it hits me, I get to talking in tongues. I can't help it. But when I pray for people, I don't get to shouting and jerking and snotting, okay? I don't close my eyes and start getting, when I'm praying for people, I keep my eyes open. Because when they start talking in tongues, you know why? Because it might not be the tongue like you want it to be. It might not be 20 minutes of speaking in tongues. It might be 3 or 4 words. Hey, I just learned something. Now, I'm not mocking the Holy Ghost, so God, you know I'm not. I'm in Thailand, and this woman is going, and I'm thinking, wow, I never heard that before. Brother Poland comes and says, Brother Smith. I said, yeah. He said, she's receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm like, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, she sounded like she's just going. He said, that is a tongue in their tribe. She said, he said, she is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when we got done, he talked to her, you know, all that language, and she started shaking her head. Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, my goodness. So me, I'm praying for everybody. I'm trying to see if anybody else is going. That's the only one, you know. I'm thinking, boy, I said, I don't need no interpreter. If I hear that going on, I know they're getting it, but nobody else done it, you know. So I had to keep him with me. So anyway, so when I'm praying with people and it hits me, you can talk in tongues. It ain't going to hurt. Because all you're doing is building faith, because when they hear themselves talking in tongues, you know what they're going to say? How can they deny? I heard him talking in tongues too. All right. Now, I ain't talking about them little naming, claiming, blabbing, grab where they say, you know, repeat after me, see my tie, see your tie. We can't do none of that. Go ahead, sir. Right. Well, here's the deal. I believe that when we get people to the altar, if we explain, you know, it's like, here it is. It's like people get nervous when they don't know what's about to happen. You take a job, and your job's real strenuous, and the guy throws you the handbook and says, read that, you'll know what to do with all these buttons. Immediately, fear hits you. You're like, uh-oh. And he says when he's leaving, be careful what you push because you could blow something up. Well, now you don't even want to read the book. Now you just want to look and make sure nobody's going to push buttons because fear has moved in. But if I take a job and the guy says, I'm going to stay with you for the next couple weeks, and I'm going to show you everything, and when I leave, you're going to know everything about this piece of machinery. Well, then I feel at peace because I got a professional with me. I got somebody who knows what they're doing with me. So when I get somebody in the altar, I don't immediately just start, what is it you need from God? Well, my back hurts. Well, beautiful. We're going to pray for the back. Or some there will be many of them going to say, well, I want that Holy Ghost. Well, great, me too. We're going to get the Holy Ghost together. Because you need the Holy Ghost too. In fact, you need to talk in tongues every day. Okay? So you say, well, you know what? We're going to do this together. We're going to pray together. We're going to talk to God. I'm going to lay hands on you and God. So what it does, you break down that barrier of fear. Because they're understanding that, hey, I got somebody, even though they don't know you, I got somebody with me that's going to help me through what's about to happen. People can feel comfortable. Is that good enough, Dad? Am I all right? Okay. Where are you from? Okay. I know. You know, when I go, I preach a lot in New York at the Jamaican church, and people receiving the Holy Ghost there is very, very different, because the Jamaican culture, when we're there, their thought of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is very spiritual. It's a very spiritual thing, and they want to make sure that it's God and not things that they fought years past in their country. But, man, when they get the Holy Ghost, nobody can tell them they didn't get it, because they understand how awesome that gift is. So in that altar, we're breaking down fear. We're breaking down barriers. I don't care who you are. That's like going into a friend or something at a concert or at a big meeting or whatever, and there's 2,000 or 3,000 people. And when you walk in, you don't see nobody you know. I don't care. You get a little something in you. And your heart thinking, oh, I want. And when you finally see them, you're like, whew. So the altar's the same way. The devil's applying all kind of pressure. The devil's racking their brain with fear and unbelief and doubt. But if they understand, this person's not going to hurt me in the altar. It's like on your Bible studies. Once they realize that you're there to share the word and not beat them over the head with it, it ain't the Bible study that wins them. It's the relationship that you build with them that they trust you. And it only takes a few minutes in that altar that they see that you have them in their best interest and in your best interest. All right, anybody else got a question? Yes, ma'am. Right, here's my deal. Now, y'all might do it different. The way I do an altar call, I don't know. I guess I don't know. I got a couple buddies that I'm not sounding like I'm boasting. Brother Foster called me one day and said, I want you to write your altar call down verbatim. He said, you won't come. I said, it ain't that I won't come. I said, you called me on a spur of a moment and I can't come. He said, I'm going to read it off the paper. He said, and David Smith, they better get the Holy Ghost. I said, Brother Foster, it's not me, it's God. He said, I don't care. God gave it, and I'm telling you now. So I wrote it down, and he read it right off the paper, and he had 25 or 26 get the Holy Ghost that day, and he called me, and we laughed. But here's the deal. When I'm in the altar, working an altar, I give that person every opportunity to come and receive Jesus Christ. So with me, personally, that's only me, I don't chase people around the sanctuary. That's me. And I've noticed about 99% of the people who chase people around the sanctuary, they never get it. Because if they wanted it, they'd come get it. And the way I do an altar call, I appeal to three different kind of people. You'll see starting Saturday night. And so I'm giving them, I don't believe in embarrassing people. I don't believe in calling people out. You know, I just don't do all that. You know, ain't nothing worse than people embarrassing people. But the way I do an altar call, I'm just telling y'all here now, Saturday night, if we got 200 people here or 250 people here, 300 people, saints and sinners, I'm telling you now, half the church is going to be in the altar. I promise you. It ain't that. I'm telling you, I can be in a church running 2,000, and I'm telling you I have 1,000 people in the altar. I can have a church running 10, and I'm telling you now, 5 or so of them is going to be in the altar. It's just the way it works. It's the way God does it. So for me to chase people around, I don't do it because I just really believe that if you've opened it up and it's been so beautiful and you're not trying to offend or hurt people, you know, I mean, if you back there and say, if you don't come to the altar, I'm telling you now, you're going to hell. Well, you know, if they don't come, that's because you done made them mad. But the way if you're just loving people and they want to come get it, I believe they'll come and they'll get it. If they don't come, to me, it's giving me a sign that they're just not ready. Not that they're a bad person. Not that something's wrong with them. They're just not ready. And a person that's not ready is not going to get it, even if we go. I've seen grandmas drag their grandson down to the altar before. I've literally seen that. It's happened to me probably 40 or 50 times. It just don't work. I mean, it just don't work. It just don't. So with me, if they come, I'm going to pray. If they don't want to come to the altar, I just leave them alone because they will come one day. They're going to come to the altar, whether on their own or us carrying them. They're going to come, I'm telling you. That's just me. Is that all right? Was that okay? Okay. Anybody else? And I'm going to turn it to the bishop. Huh? Yes, ma'am. You know, hey, I'm going to tell you. That's something you said that. I was at Brother Bornhill's at the first of the year, and they got a whole deaf group there. And the Lord done some mighty things, and we had some deaf people. God gave them miracles, and they left their hearing, and then we had some that left the same way they came. And my deal is I just got to go through the person that knows sign language. And even with a deaf person, even though they can't speak, they can hear. They can hear in their mind, like the vibration. You know, it's amazing. I don't know how to explain it. I got my hand on this guy, and I'm telling you, literally, my hand, I could feel the vibration of him trying to say something. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he just went, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. And the woman says, Brother Smith, he's receiving the Holy Ghost. Well, to me, it just sounded like he's just trying to say something, a word or something. But so when it got done, she done all the signs, said, could you feel yourself saying something that wasn't, I guess you'd say English? And he's like doing back, saying yes. So somebody says, well, you know, you're getting off. Listen, you know, number one, I'm not deaf. And I don't know what they're feeling. And I don't know what they're, I don't know. So I can't judge them. I only can go by what they tell the person that's signing. You know what I'm saying? But I will give you a great praise report. He wanted to hear, and he asked God to heal him. Well, I didn't pray for a healing. I prayed for a miracle. I wasn't listening. And it broke down in communication. Well, I prayed for the miracle, and everybody got all sad because God didn't open his ears. Now, he done opened up a couple, but it didn't open up here. He is, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't know. You know, the Lord does things away. But something just hit me, and I just whipped around, and I prophesied to him. I said, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I said, in the next few days, God's going to open up your hearing. So she tells him, and the church rejoices. Well, Brother Barnhill says, hey, bro, you kind of stepped out there. 300 people just heard you prophesy to that guy. So you believe he can do it? He said, well, yeah, I believe. I said, Bible says there are two or three. Well, I'm gone. I'm preaching somewhere else. Brother Barnhill calls me the next Sunday. He said, in the middle of service, the guy stands up and raises his hand. So Brother Barnhill tells the woman signing and says, ask him what he wants. He says, Brother Barnhill, you don't have to ask her. He said, God just opened my ears. I can tell you what you're saying. To God be the glory. So what I'm saying is that for that, I'm just going to work through that person that's doing that. And if I'm hearing, if they can't speak and there's never no sounds coming out of their mouth ever, and then I begin to hear something, when they get done doing whatever they're doing, I'm going to ask them, could you feel or hear your own self? That's the only way I can, you know. And I think God's a great God. I think he's a just God. And if that little fella or big fella or girl, what if they say they're getting it, I'm going to rejoice with them. And I'm not, you know what I'm saying? It's just hard. That's a hard thing to answer because I don't know what's happening there, because it's almost like praying with people that don't speak English. You've got to believe in that interpreter and what that person tells you. Because, I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I was on the airplane coming home and everybody was getting the Holy Ghost. I mean, they were talking in tongues. No, I'm kidding. <You know? laughs> Yeah. Because I should have just started claiming them, huh? There's another one. There's another. No, but anyway. All right. Anybody else got a question? Anybody else? I'm going to turn to the bishop. Bishop? Hallelujah. Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate good information? Why don't you tell them about Brother Wilson's prophecy to you?
That's a neat story. Brother Wilson prophesied to me. I was in the church preaching at the Rock Church. We had 71 get the Holy Ghost. And on the platform, Bishop Wilson, if anybody knows him, he just whipped around and prophesied. He said, Brother Smith, he said, I'm prophesying to you. He said, this year, he said, you'll see 100 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in a regular service. It won't, not a crusade. I've seen thousands get it in crusades. But he said, you'll see it in one service. And I said, Bishop, I received that. I was in Brooklyn, New York, preaching for Mike Mitchell on Easter Sunday. And the Holy Ghost began to move. And in that one service, we had 126 receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we got to 120, I stopped the whole church and I said, folks, the day of Pentecost has just happened again. I said, but you know what? The Bible says, greater works shall we do. I said, there's folks here that still need the gift of the Holy Ghost. Six more got the Holy Ghost. On the platform, I picked up the phone, and I called Bishop Wilson. I know you're not supposed to talk on your cell phone in church, but I had to. And we're in the altar, and I picked it up, and I called him. I said, Bishop, I said, the prophecy that you prophesied to me has just come to pass. I'm telling y'all here right now, we can have 100 people get the Holy Ghost. If the bishops prophesied that, then I'm going to believe with him. But I'm telling you, we got to go get them. We just got to go get them. All right, and I'll prove something to you. How many of you know 10 people that need the Holy Ghost right now? Now, look at that. That's well over 100 people. All right, you can sit down. Put your hands down. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. How many of you believe the devil just put them people on your mind? Now, if it wasn't the devil, then apparently it had to be God. So now, how many of you believe that God put them on your mind? All right. Now, put your hand down. Now I'm going to show you how you're about to be used. People say, man, I want to be using the gifts. I want to be able to prophesy and stuff. Great, you're fixing to prophesy. You're going to call them 10 people, and here's what you're going to say. I was in church Friday night, and the Lord put you on my mind. And if you'll come with me, I'm telling you, God will do something great in our lives. It wasn't the devil, so it had to be God. Huh? You don't have to get into no doctrine. You don't have to get into, you know, just call and say, hey, I'm going to be real short. I was in church Friday night, and God put you on my mind. And if you'll come with me this weekend, I promise you, the Lord's going to do something great in our life. Hey, I love you. What day are you coming? Okay, see you. Click. Hey, how you doing? Just wanted to call. You know what, Friday, I was in church. God put you, I done made two phone calls. It ain't even been 15 seconds. Look at that. You call them 10 people. You might have to go get them. You might have to go out of your way this weekend. But if they want the Holy Ghost and they come, I'm telling you, they're going to get it in Jesus' name.
All right.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you coming out tonight. Nothing sweeter than bringing your friend or your family member to church and praying them through yourself. And that enhances the possibilities because you got bridge work already, unless they hate you. But you got bridge work already. Bring them to the altar, and let's see how many people we can see filled with the Holy Ghost this weekend. Let's stand together, and let's pray and ask God to just help us all to have wisdom and sensitivity. Help us to be effective as we pray for people in the altar. Would you do that right now? Mighty God, we just praise you, and we worship you. God, give us a sensitive heart. Give us a life full of anointing. Let our hands be filled with the anointing of God. Lay your hand on us, O God. Make us effective in an altar. Cause us, O God, to bring forth abundantly. I pray that you would do it in the name above every name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name above every name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now, I want you to pray. We've passed out several thousands of flyers, and we've invited a lot of people to church. I want you to pray for those people right now, that the drawing of God will be on this city, that God will begin to just draw them, speak to them tonight, touch their hearts, touch their minds, cause them to be compelled to come to this house Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Lord God, move on them right now. All over this city, oh God, fill the net. Let the drawing of God be upon the city, oh God. Let the drawing of God be on those backsliders, those that have received the tracks, oh God. Mighty God, those that we witnessed to, those that we've told about it, every card that we passed out, mighty God. Draw by your Spirit, oh God. Fill this house. Fill this altar, mighty God. I pray that you would. In the name above every name, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you. Love you. Glad that you're in the house tonight. Let's come back tomorrow night. 6 o'clock tomorrow night. We're going to have church, and let's see how many empty vessels we can have in the house.